This is the Project Management Podcast. We bring project management topics to beginners and experts. Find us on the web at www.thepmpodcast.com or send your emails to pmpodcast@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to episode number 91. I am Cornelius Fichtner. This is the Project Management Podcast for the 22nd of March 2008. Nice to have you with us. Project politics are very likely the ugly stepchild of project management. We know that we have them, but we try to ignore them as best as we can. And because of that, we can be sure that they're going to bite us. And instead of blaming ourselves because we don't manage it, then we blame those elusive company politics for the fact that our project has just gone south. This is where Brian Irvin can help. He wrote the book Managing Politics and Conflict in Projects, which will help you not only understand the dynamics of politics in a company, but it will also help you manage it. In our discussion with Brian, we focus on one important part of managing your politics, and that is your stakeholders. They say that the only project where you don't have politics is a project where you have only one person participating. But since all of us usually have more than one person participating and hence more than one stakeholders, we have to know how to manage their project-related expectations and politics properly. Before we get started, I have a giveaway announcement. Brian Irwin's book, Managing Politics and Conflict in Projects. We have two books to give away. One of those books is going to the listeners of our premium feed. So if you're listening to this episode via the premium feed, there's absolutely nothing you have to do. One of you will automatically win a copy of this book. If you are not a listener of the premium feed, then you still have a chance to win the book. All that you have to do is send an email to politics@pmprepcast.com. And you have to do that by April 2nd. So again, the email address is politics@pmprepcast.com if you would like to win a copy of Brian Irwin's book. Today's episode is sponsored by Spark Internet Marketing, a full-service premium internet marketing firm offering search engine optimization and pay-per-click services to customers across North America. Our number one priority is to grow your business by leveraging the internet to bring you qualified leads at rates lower than traditional advertising mediums. We deliver quality work and fully explain our efforts to you on a monthly basis. Visit sparkinternetmarketing.com and sign up for a free website performance report and 60-minute personalized discovery session. I would like to draw your attention to only one helpful resource today, because it comes from, well, Mr. Project Management himself, Max Weidman, and of course it is about project politics. It is titled Projects, Politics and Process, Lessons Learned, Large Projects and the 2010 Olympics. In November 2003, Vancouver won the right to host the 2010 Olympic Games. But in February 2004, well, the chief executive officer for the execution of this ambitious project or program had not yet been appointed. This is the basis of a short article, it's a two-page article, that Max Weidman, of course, wrote under his heading Max's Musings. And what he's trying to say is that there was a prolonged and, in some case, unnecessary hiatus while they were looking for a leader for this project. And they did this through a very complex selection process. Now, he makes a strong point of saying how important and difficult it was politically to appoint a CEO. without whom nothing was going to move forward. So you have this complex political environment with a incredibly large project in the middle, and you have to find someone to manage it. And you're now going to tell me, okay, Cornelius, this, okay, 2010 Olympics, large project versus my project. How does this relate to me? I have a, 10 people project that I manage. I have to deliver a prototype. And you're telling me to read this article here from Max Weidman about the 2010 Olympics? How does this relate? Well, it does relate. Because what Max is saying in this, if you translate it to our normal sized project that most of us manage, is that you have to make sure that every duty on your project is assigned to a real person. If you look at your RACI chart, where you assign the responsibilities of each of the project team members, then you might sometimes have TBD in the name. Well, let me tell you, Mr. or Mrs. To Be Defined does not exist. You have to work your political skills internally in your company and get buy-in from management for all assignments that you need. And best of it all, Max also has a very cool graphic here in which he shows the political life cycle and the level of effort that is involved to do something in this. And it's quite funny as well. And if you want to see either the article or this very cool graphic, stop by at thepmpodcast.com, where you will find a link to this particular helpful resource, of course, in the helpful resources section of today's episode, which is episode number 91. And now let's head into our main topic, the discussion on stakeholders and politics with Brian Irvin. Guiding projects and organizations through difficult times and situations is Brian Irvin's passion. Brian has worked in project and program management roles for more than 12 years for companies such as Gateway Computers, the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Laboratory, and Hewlett-Packard. He is a PMP who also holds a Bachelor's of Science in Electrical Engineering and a Master's of Science degree in Project Management, both from Colorado Technical University in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Brian has been a volunteer for the PMI, serving a leadership role on the OPM3 2008 update team and as a team member on the Portfolio Management Standards team. He's an accomplished speaker and has presented project management topics to a number of audiences. So, without further ado, here's the interview with Brian Irvin, PMP.
Project Management Podcasts, Feature Interview. Today, with Brian Irvin, project management author and speaker.
Good morning, Brian, and welcome to the Project Management Podcast.
Good morning, Cornelius. It's great to be back with you.
Absolutely. Hey, your book is called Managing Politics and Conflict in Projects, and it takes a rather well-rounded look at the politics that we have. It starts at the project environment, then it goes over to communication, negotiation, and it also helps you devise a strategy and brings the leadership element into play as well. It's a bit over 200 pages long, and because we cannot discuss it all, it's just impossible to squeeze this in into half an hour or so, we decided to focus on the stakeholder aspect of politics. And we figured that most of our listeners here, they have stakeholders on their projects, and looking at this particular segment of your book is going to be interesting to most project managers. So, in situations like this, I'd like to begin with the absolute basics. Can you give us a quick definition of what a stakeholder is on our project? Who are they?
Sure. I pretty much, Cornelius, stuck with the PMI definition, mm-hmm. where the project stakeholder is a person or organization that's actively involved in the project or whose interest may be positively or negatively affected by execution or completion of the project. Really, the project stakeholders cover the full gamut from beginning project inception to end. There's usually somebody, well, there's always somebody that can be affected. We usually think of the stakeholders as those being positively affected by the project, but it can also be those negatively impacted. And as well, our project teams fall into that category as well, from project team members to the organization itself, the project customers, so the full circle of people involved with the project, either directly or directly.
That pretty much sounds like everyone who's in any way connected to the project, right?
Pretty much, yes.
Let's head right into this stakeholder management then, and let me read you a quote from page 70 in your book. You may remember it. You wrote it yourself.
Yeah, I'll take it.
It says, as a PM, you must constantly work to identify the project stakeholders and understand the influence that each stakeholder brings to the project. Then you must manage the expectations of those stakeholders. Can you give us a bit more background on this? Why is it so important?
Well, quite frankly, if you do not manage the expectations of the stakeholders, those expectations could come back to bite you or haunt you over time. There's always a success element to a project, a success or failure, and you can have a successful project in terms of the triple constraint, being scope, cost, and time. So you can deliver something on time, within budget or under budget, and have it be within scope and of good quality, yet fail to meet stakeholder expectations because of either a misunderstanding of what those expectations are or expectations that were not correct, incorrect expectations on the stakeholder part.
Is there someone who is ultimately responsible for all of this?
Sure. The ultimate responsibility has to be with the project manager.
Uh-huh. And do you expect that the project manager then gets in touch with every single stakeholder constantly and does it all by himself? Or?
Certainly not. The project manager is the buck stops here person. So,
okay.
In other words, the responsibility falls with the project manager. However, it should not be done in a vacuum. There are a number of perspectives on stakeholder management and on the different stakeholders that the project team can bring into play. Certainly there's, you know, then that's really one of the positive and strong aspects of having a diverse project team is that everybody brings a unique perspective on differing stakeholders and stakeholder groups. Mm-hmm. And they can share that perspective and it will help the project manager manage the stakeholders and the stakeholder expectations much better.
Okay, and of course the good news is that you not only provide this information, it says everyone is responsible, but your book also gives us a nice stakeholder management process.
Okay.
And you lay it out, there is a graphic that shows exactly what the process is and you go into the details of each of those seven steps, and why don't we take a look at those seven steps right now? It starts out with identifying.
Sure. We start with the identification as step one, and the identification is really working with the project team to identify the key stakeholders and understanding really who they are and capturing that. The second step is gathering information about them, and this is a particularly good step where different perspectives on the project team can lend a great deal of help to the project manager. So, in other words, you work to understand what their goals and the objectives are of that particular stakeholder or the stakeholder group. From there, we move on to the third step, which is identifying the interest of each stakeholder or stakeholder group. You identify what's their stake in the project outcome. So are they going to be positively or negatively impacted by the successful completion of the project? And there are different aspects and avenues you might take depending on whether they're positively or negatively affected. Moving from there, we go to the fourth step, which is assess project proximity. So in this step, we work to understand if they are close to the project, like a project sponsor, or if they are further away from the project. It could be a third-party vendor that's a little further away than a project sponsor, or the project customer could be someone that's a little further away than the project team. From the fourth step, we move to the fifth, which is assess ability to influence. And this is a particularly important step in the process. This step works to identify if they will have the ability to terminate the project. Is their influence minimal? Is it maximal? You may need to manage the stakeholders a little bit differently depending on their ability to influence the outcome of the project. For example, you might have a project customer that has a little influence over the project outcome. Certainly, you want to make sure that they're satisfied and happy with the outcome of the project, but the project sponsor is much closer to the project and has the ability to cancel it. So you would work to manage that person a little differently. The next step is strategize. And following assessing the ability to influence, strategizing really is trying to understand how you can go about managing that stakeholder. What's the best way to manage their expectations, the communication with them? It's a very important step. The seventh and final step in the process is behavior prediction. So in any particular given situation, how is this stakeholder or stakeholder group likely to respond? And in this step, it's really good to have this step be a very focused team exercise, because the diversity offered by the project team and the experience levels offered by everyone on the project teams are certainly to differ. And predicting behavior is less than a perfect science, as you can probably well imagine. So really what you're trying to do in this step is predict future behavior based on past behavior of the project stakeholder. And that's very, very critical to the stakeholder management process, because it gives you an idea of which direction the stakeholder may go depending on the situation. And then this is I'd also like to state that Cornelius said this is an iterative process. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily have to go through the whole seven steps as the project life cycle goes throughout, but if there's a significant change in the project objectives, depending on how the project is going or how the stakeholder groups are changing throughout the project life cycle, you can pick up from different stages.
If a new stakeholder comes in, you have to gather information about them, you have to identify their interests, you have to put them onto your map and make sure that you see them, that they're on your radar, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
One thing that I'm noticing right now as I'm looking at these seven steps, it seems to me that the first five are quote-unquote simple, and then the last two are a bit more difficult. So identification, gather information, identify interests, assess the project proximity, and assess their ability to influence. That's something that you can do easily. You probably don't even have to leave your office in order to do that. But then step six and seven, strategizing and predicting their behavior, that looks like it's a lot of work involved in it.
Yes, it is. And that is really where the rubber meets the road, because and unfortunately, those are the two steps that are probably the least objective and most subjective of all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this really is the art of stakeholder management. is strategizing and predicting the behavior of your stakeholders and your stakeholder group. It's really what makes it's really the difficult part of the process, as you mentioned. Yes.
Yeah, what I particularly liked at the end of your seven-step process is you go into mapping the stakeholders, and you show us a table in which you have an example of a stakeholder map. It's really nice how you take the results of those seven steps and put them into an overview, and then you can sort it and review it, and you can focus on the 80-20 rule, and you only go and work on those stakeholders that really can influence your project. That's really nice. Tell us, how else would a project manager use this tool in a project?
Once again, I use a simple Excel spreadsheet in this example in the book, as you mentioned. There is another tool out there that plots it graphically, and it's called the stakeholder circle.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is really good, and I really like that, especially for those people that think graphically. But really, Cornelius, I think the key that I'm trying to get across is the real meat in using the tool is developing the information that goes into cells. And it's much like if you write something down, you're much more likely to remember it. At least I am.
I have the same problem, yes.
Yeah. So it's really the process of going through it. And then as you write it down, you can use it as the project progresses to refresh your memory and, devise strategies and think about ways in which a particular situation how a stakeholder may react in any given situation. So that's really the gist of it, is going through the process to putting it down on the tool is really where I've found that the usefulness is.
One critical question that someone might ask is, well, I mean, you're going through this process and you're writing down a list of what they want and what they fear so you can proactively manage the stakeholders. I mean, hello, where's the politics in this?
Mm-hmm.
Is that really all there is to it?
What you're talking about is the politics. The whole process really is the politics behind it. And when you get into the actual strategizing and predicting behavior, you're going to come up with a way to engage those stakeholders so that it impacts your project in the most positive way. And that's really the politics and where the politics comes in. Understanding who has politics is all about relationships. And the soft skills of project management, in my view, it's all about relationships and how people relate with each other and what's at stake, who stands to gain, who stands to lose, and how you go about managing and influencing in situations like that is really the politics that's behind it. So it's a tool to help us engage in the politics of project management.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. I intentionally threw that question in there, mm-hmm. I could see some project managers asking that question, and this also leads me to my final question for you, because the same project manager who could have asked the previous question could also act in the following way, and I'd like to know what you say to a project manager who comes up to you and tells you that, well, I enjoy being a project manager, but I really don't try to get involved in all the politicking that's going on in my company. How what do you say to a project manager like that?
Good luck. we can say that all we want is project leaders. And a project manager is also in a project leadership position. Unfortunately, we don't always have the authority or the positional authority that comes with a position requiring a lot of leadership, but really you can lead at any level. And the politics is it exists in every organization. Certainly in any organization over two people, you're going to have politics. And it all depends on how you react and engage in those politics that is really, I think, determine the outcome of your project. And, it's not really grounded in reality to say that you want to stay out of the politics. That quote is talking, I think, when people refer to politics, they often think of it in terms of negative, and they speak of it in terms of another person or a third party and not to themselves. So, in other words, I noticed that I'll read you a quote from the book that I took from a book by Marie McIntyre, which was Secrets to Winning at Office Politics. She writes that we often speak of it in, third party, like I say. We say stuff like, they are fucking up and scheming and manipulating, but we are building relationships and developing strategies and opening communication channels when we refer to ourselves. So, it really depends on which way you look at it, but there is a positive use to politics as well. And really, to keep it relationship-based, that's the key to having a positive outcome and a positive attitude about politics. And it really can be the difference maker in a project.
Excellent. Once again, the book is called Managing Politics and Conflict in Projects by Brian Irwin. And you can not only find a link to this book on our website, but you can also win one of two copies. And I announced that before the interview. Brian, thank you so much for having joined us here on the program today. Appreciate your time.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Cornelius. It's always a pleasure. And I was on back in episode 37. It's been a long time. It took me longer to write the book than I wanted, but doesn't it always? So I'm glad to have it out there, and I certainly hope it helps the project managers that pick it up.
And that was our interview with Brian Irwin. Here's what I would like to know from you. Nobody likes politics on their project, but they're just a fact of life. Do you have any tips or tricks that you can share with all of us to help us deal with politics? Please stop by at the website and post your reply to this question as a comment to episode number 91. And let me remind you that if you would like to win a copy of Brian Irwin's book, all that you have to do is send an email to politics@pmprepcast.com. That's it for today. Thank you very much for listening. As always, you can find us on the web at thepmpodcast.com. And if you are a project manager who wants to become PMP certified, you can visit pmprepcast.com. In our sister podcast, we teach you concepts, tools, and techniques that you need to know in order to pass the PMP exam. Please send your emails to pmpodcast@gmail.com. And when you write yes, please tell me where in the world you are writing from. And finally, we have this. You can maneuver a project manager into committing to an impossible deadline, but you cannot make him meet it. Until next time.